Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Guys, welcome to Between the Reps with Brooke and Gina.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Anyway. Oh, okay. Write something down. Oh, you got a yellow notepad.
This was my father's.
That's a total dad notepad.
Okay. Dude,
Oh, are you going to have the hiccups?
No, but.
Was that a hick burp?
Yeah.
Hick burp?
Yeah. What, like a bickup?
A bickup?
No. So you guys, this morning, actually, this has become a pretty normal thing, which is sucking really bad. I wake up in the morning and I'm like locked up, like have like pains or like knots up in my upper back.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if it's my pillow and it's, I fall asleep on my back. Like I've gotten really good since my spine surgery, sleeping on my back. Cause yeah. Before that I never was a back, never slept on my back.
Yeah. I have a hard time sleeping on my back,
but it's like, it'll shift from left to right. Like, remember when I told you I was locked up and I went to the chiropractor?
Yeah.
That was on the left side. And now it's on the right side.
Oh, weird.
I was locked up this morning and I went down in the gym because, well, I was going to go running. I was going to go for a run. And then I was in bed a long time, but I drove home. You guys, I was up at the ranch yesterday and I drove home last night. And so by the time I showered, you know, got in bed, it was pretty late. And I slept in so long.
Oh.
I get up around, usually I'm awake at like 7, maybe 7:30, and I slept until like 8:30, and then I just didn't feel great. So I stayed in bed, and then I finally was like looking at the time. I was like, okay, I got to go down in the gym because Jake sent me some reels that we made for Naked.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been feeling a lot better. You guys, been running a lot, been feeling good about running. Running sucks. But
I liked running though.
I know, but it's like, it's this sense of accomplishment when you're done with it. Now the problem, everybody that I'm running into literally is after a good run,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, well, I'm done the rest of the day.
Oh yeah. Okay.
You know, it's like after a good run, I don't want to
do anything else.
I don't have like this desire to like then go in the gym right after. probably a couple reasons. When I've been in Florida, that's when I was out in Florida is when I started running a lot with Todd in the mornings, which is great because it's kind of part of what our challenge was to you last week is just like, get up, get outside, and you don't need to go running. You can go for a walk, but I wanted to go running because, you know, I'm coming off a year of a very weird, not feeling great. And so my goal of just going for a run, even if it's like just intervals, right? I'm out there, especially when I was in Florida, cause it was hot as balls, but just intervals of running. And, but after the heat and going for like getting a good workout on your run, and then just even here in St. George in Utah, the heat and the, you're so much sweating. It's like, I'm too tired to then go into the gym and now lift. So in the past, when I was competing, you know, then it wouldn't have done it that way. It would run in the morning, chill. Usually I'd probably go running, and then me and Gina would like go get a coffee, you mm-hmm. know, and then we'd go to the gym and we would do lifting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I haven't been doing that, but I've been running. So positives, not so positive. I'm shrinking up a little bit, shrinking my,
okay.
my arms. Definitely. I mean, I would say my butt, but I've never really had much of a butt. So I woke up this morning, Jake sent me these reels that we made for Naked. We're trying to like get a bunch of, you know, trying to be better myself mm-hmm. about creating content for social. And he sent them to me and I'm watching them and I was like, oh man, my arms are a lot smaller than they used to be. So I went into the gym. I was like, I'm gonna lift arms because I need to do that. And I get out of the gym and it's just like, I've got this knot. It's giving me PTSD of back when I couldn't move my head.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it sucks.
That does suck.
On that note, you guys, here's what I want to discuss today. Gina doesn't even know I want to discuss today.
I know. You just said, I'm reading up on something.
Yes. And this is not something new. It's new for me to okay. be looking into it. It's not new for me to have considered the reality of this. Many of you have probably know way more about this than we do. And
well, I don't even know what we're talking about.
Maybe have been following it for a long time. So for the women out there, but, it's new for me. So I'm going to be, I guess we'll just get right to it. It's about your menstrual cycle, all the different phases of your menstrual cycle and how that affects you with exercise.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I don't have a menstrual cycle.
No, you don't.
So
I haven't yet.
So this is not, you know, I necessarily haven't, have anything to do with me, but yes.
Well then I'd assume that mm. because you don't have one, that you might be able to just live in the first phase of the menstrual cycle.
Oh, maybe it's the last phase.
No, I'd say the first phase because in your follicular
phase, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the follicular phase, it's when our hormones are the lowest.
Okay.
As women. So I'm going to read some stuff to you. Okay.
Okay.
All right. First of all, so first I'll just talk about the phases, and I had to reread through these things a few times because the different phases of the cycles, you have one article I read, it talks about the menstrual phase, the follicular phase, the ovulation phase, and then the luteal phase.
Luteal.
Okay. L-U-T-E-A-L.
Okay.
And they overlap. So okay. That's why I had to keep reading because I'm trying to figure out, like, I've been tracking my period for a long time now on I use the Flow app. Way smarter women out there. Probably a lot of you listening to this podcast. It's like, oh yeah, I've been, you know, I tracked my period, been doing it since I very first started it. My first time having one. No, I not never for me. Did that. It's like, for me, it's like I didn't really ever, I never had the desire to understand it, I guess. Yeah. I just knew it's, you know, it's what happened. And I knew it's like, you bleed for 7 days, you don't die. And it's like a superpower. And also it's like the worst thing ever. And our hormones are up and down all month long. And then just when you start to feel normal again,
starts all over again.
Yeah. So the menstrual cycle averages 23 to 38 days. And this article I'm talking about, it just talks about the three phases, which are the follicular, ovulation, luteal.
Okay.
Follicular phase begins day one of your period. And it's when your hormones are at the lowest level that they will ever be throughout the month. And because your sex hormones are low, this is when the female body is most similar to that of a man. And I think it's just because our sex hormones are low. So like our testosterone that we have, you know, it's not dropping. It's
okay.
The same. The follicular phase continues. It's 5 to 6 days past your period. So it will last anywhere from 12 to 14 days. So it starts when you start and it will go past when you're done bleeding.
Okay.
Following your period, your estrogen gradually increases, resulting in a release of a luteinizing and follicle stimulating hormones. There's two different ones. And what that's causing to happen is it gets FSH or something. It's follicle something hormone. And it gets your body to produce anywhere from 5 to 20 follicles, which are immature eggs. And then basically from there, you know, you may have one of those that mature or maybe sometimes two. And that's when our uterine wall will start to get thicker. And then we go through the process of ovulation where the egg goes down the fallopian tubes. And if you are, in fact, you get pregnant, then it just stays in there and continues to grow. And if you don't, then we start to get rid of everything.
Sloughs off.
Yeah. Sheds is the word they use. And it grosses me out. Yeah. Dude, it's so bad. I'm going to read it just so you can.
It sheds. It just sounds like a.
Like a snake.
Oh, yeah. Like, I don't know. Just nasty.
So ovulation is when your body releases an egg. And if sperm is present, this is the golden opportunity for implantation and pregnancy to occur. 28 day cycle is pretty average. Sometimes we have longer ones, sometimes shorter ones. Your ovulation is usually around day 14.
Okay.
It's like 24 hours, like prime time for implantation.
It's prime time, baby.
Prime time. And if you're not pregnant, then it's like, then we move into the luteal phase. The luteal phase occurs right after ovulation and lasts for the second half of your cycle.
Okay.
So we've got follicular phase, day one to like day 14. Around day 14, we ovulate. And then from there, luteal phase.
Okay.
Right. So it's like 2 weeks of follicular phase, which they say is like the best time for us to really be like pushing it in the gym because our sex hormones are the lowest.
Oh, got it. Okay. Okay.
And then we ovulate.
See where you're going with this.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Then we move into the luteal phase. This occurs right after ovulation. Second half of your period. And it says, and lasts for the second half of your cycle, bringing with it the hormonal parade.
Ah.
At this point, estrogen has a moderate second rise. So your estrogen rises in the follicular phase.
Okay.
Right. And that's what happens. Then it signals your pituitary gland to get these hormones. And then we put the egg and it goes to the fallopian tube and then we ovulate. And then it's like, now we get rid of it. Yes. Luteal phase. This occurs right after ovulation and lasts for the second half of your cycle, bringing it with a hormonal parade. At this point, estrogen has a moderate second rise, but more importantly, progesterone enters the picture and brings a number of physiological symptoms along with it.
Ah.
Yes, it does. The luteal phase ends when progesterone peaks. And if you're not pregnant, both estrogen and progesterone drop and signal to your brain to start your period and begin a new cycle.
Jesus, it's just exhausting.
Oh, yeah. So it's like now that we have a basic understanding of hormonal changes that define the menstrual cycle, let's talk more about physiological changes. Here we go. The effects of our the fluctuating effects of fluctuating hormones. Also, you guys, I'm getting this from healthline.com. And I've actually read a few different articles, posts, I guess, about some of this stuff. And it talks about how, like, the first part of your cycle is the low hormone phase. And the only cycle symptoms you're likely experiencing are those of your period, which makes a lot of sense because, you know, I never knew the specifics of this, but I've always known that, like, the week or so, maybe a little more, leading up to your period is when I feel pretty shitty. You know, like, I'm starting to get more cramping.
Right. That's what people, they'll say, like, PMS or whatever.
Yep. And then, right, like, you know, I might cramp, still have, like, menstrual cramps a couple days into the start of my period, but then your symptoms are pretty much gone. And now all you're doing is trying not to ruin your pants.
Right. Right. Go into that phase.
Oh yeah.
So I find it interesting. Like, I never had cramps or anything like that the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, I never really had PMS symptoms, but, like, my daughter Ruby has it really bad.
Yeah.
She gets really bad ones.
Well, and they do say too, we change as we get older too. So sometimes maybe it's worse for others than.
No, like, some I've people. Never had, like, since I first, like, since I was 16 and got my first period, I just never did.
Okay. Bragging.
No, I'm not bragging. I just wonder why.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's weird.
You know, it talks about how if you're trying to exercise hard, it makes sense that the time of when you're the follicular phase at the first couple weeks, right? It makes sense that this is the time of the month to put your best effort forth as you have no hormonal symptoms complicating things.
Okay.
The event of ovulation can be marked by a slight rise in women's temperature. Oh, on that note, I've heard about, you know, you have all the different types of birth control. Some people, first time I heard about it was an old friend of ours that was considering to start doing it. I never thought I really, wanted to have to put in so much effort to remember to take my temperature, right? Every single day, taking your temperature, watching how your first thing in the morning, your temperature
is that what you're supposed to do?
Yeah. So basically it's about this thing where our bodies, our temperature changes. And that's a really great way of knowing where we are in our cycle, in which phase.
Okay.
Because our temperature rises.
Okay.
During ovulation and blah, blah, blah. So the event of ovulation can be marked by a slight rise in a woman's temperature. This doesn't seem like a big deal on the thermometer, but it's important to know that this temperature increase continues past ovulation and lasts the duration of the second half of your cycle.
What the hell?
Yes. So given the raised temperature during your luteal phase, right? Because ovulation, it starts to rise and then it basically stays high through that second half of our full cycle. And then it'll drop in the follicular phase. The female body is more sensitive to exercising in hot or humid environments. Think hot yoga, being in a warm gym, or running outside on a hot summer day. And your athletic performance can really take a hit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure.
You know, it's so funny. I've really thought
about this. I'm just thinking of, like, I've never thought of anything that I've done as any kind of athleticism or performance wise.
Well, it's just, like,
I know what I mean,
the gym, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I've just never taken the time to think about, you know, this could 100% come from the mindset that I had of, like, I didn't want, like, everything felt like, when something didn't feel great, an immediate response I always had was, like, am I making an excuse?
Right.
Right. And that was the mindset I've always had with training. Like, I was very, and then on top of that, if I really wasn't feeling great and I could tell that things weren't, maybe I didn't feel as explosive, I was tired, whatever. I always attributed that to being overreached, you know, or like my CNS being really fried. And that makes a lot of sense why I would feel slower, why it would be harder for me to be explosive. for like a quick response with muscle fibers. Right. Mm-hmm. And I guess, well, I trained so hard consistently for so long that it probably went hand in hand. Like when I didn't feel great, it made sense that I wasn't feeling great because of all the work that I had put in.
Right.
It made a lot of sense. It was like, if I wasn't feeling great and I could tell my CNS was fried, my coaches also knew like, oh, that's where we're at because of X, Y, Z. It makes a lot of sense. You don't feel 100% because of this is all part of the plan. So until now, I never really even thought to consider like what is another reason I might not be feeling great. But since not training for competition, so I'm not doing 2-a-days, I'm not training with competition in mind, or even the idea of like wanting to get to an overreach state or whatever. Mm-hmm. When I'm not feeling great, that is why I've started diving into this. And I've heard, you know, I've definitely heard and read some stuff about, you know, the importance of women considering the different phases of their cycle when training, mm-hmm. but I just haven't taken the step in learning that. And maybe I've, you know, kind of considered myself to be like outside of that,
uh-huh.
because of all the work I've always done, like that it didn't seem like that was, it maybe seemed like if I were to be looking into that too, it would just give me one more
excuse.
It would give me an excuse.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've always been the type that like I didn't want to be making excuses. So when things weren't right, it was hard for me to accept that those were real reasons why something wasn't feeling great.
Right.
But I'm looking into it.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
So like what you're saying is now without that volume of training, you're still not feeling great. And so now you're like, oh, well, shit. It obviously isn't being overtrained.
Yes.
And
And this, you know, this whole past year of my hormones and everything just being all over the place, been working on being more level and mm-hmm. feeling better. I'm more interested now in how much more can I maybe understand what's going on and
maybe like plan accordingly.
To have like work with it versus uh-huh. work against it. And prior to that, it was always just work toward my goal at the CrossFit Games. It wasn't, But so it talks about, you know, aside from your core temperature, aside from raising your core temperature, progesterone increases your resting heart rate and breathing rate.
Oh, interesting.
All three of these symptoms can be interpreted as additional strain on the body, especially when exercising, leaving a woman to feel like she's having to work harder than usual.
Interesting. Okay.
So I never knew that, right?
I never knew that either.
Yep. And the last couple days, you know, I've gone like, I don't know, like a week ago, went on a run, did 4 miles without stopping. Some of you are like, oh, that's not big. That's a big deal for me. 4 miles without stopping. I didn't feel 100% the whole time, but throughout it, I definitely felt really good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like only a couple days later, I go to go hit a run. Nothing crazy. Felt awful.
Just dragging ass.
Oh my gosh. The entire time. There was never a moment, and it's hot outside, but there was never a moment in the run that I thought I got to cruise, right? Where I was like, right. Okay. Like there was never even like a small window.
Yeah. It was just a struggle the whole time.
The entire run was like, oh my gosh. Like I just ran this. I just ran 4 miles the other day.
Yeah.
No big deal. And now all of a sudden it was like pulling, man, for me to just get to the two mile mark before I had to stop and walk.
Yeah.
Was a very, very difficult.
Weird.
And I've kind of felt like, you know, like dragging.
Did you look and see like where you were? Did you know like where you were in your cycle?
At the time, this was just like a few days, you know, like last week, I didn't even think about that. So again, I wasn't thinking about that at all. I was like, well, maybe I'm just tired. You know, maybe I'm just, I've been running a lot and maybe I'm just, I'm at a point where my body needs to recover a little bit more. You know? And, but then I started having really bad cramps yesterday. And I checked to see like, oh, you know, I'm supposed to start my period. It's like when I was starting doing that run, I had looked and I was like, oh, like 7 days away. So then for yesterday, right, having really bad cramps, now I'm like 4 days away. So I'm basically this whole time I've been in my luteal phase, like the second half of my cycle. And so reading about it, like your body temperature is already higher. You're going to have a faster resting heart rate. A lot of these things that it's saying, like it will, you will feel like you are just having to work harder than usual. And so that got me thinking, cause I know I'm like, oh, well, I used to always be so irritated when I had a competition or something important because I always started my period.
Right.
When I was competing. And I used to think like, what a pain in the ass. And it is a pain in the ass, but I'm reading this and it's like, when you're that first couple weeks of your period, that is when we are
basically the optimum time.
We're the optimal athlete.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Way interesting. But it also talks about how there's a characteristic of progesterone that's has a catabolic effect. So in the second half of our cycle, when our progesterone is higher, you know, and we feel shittier and it's hotter and our temperature and blah, blah, all the things I said, it's saying that it also has a catabolic effect, meaning that this hormone likes to break down tissue.
Oh.
So this is where now it gets interesting with deciding what types of training I want to do in the first part and what types of training I should be doing in the second part.
Right.
Which that just that concept is like, oh man, that seems like a lot of work to figure out. And B, I've never really thought about, I've never considered to break up my style of training
based on your
week to week, right?
Yeah.
It's always just been, we're in a rotation. Like we look at the whole plan. We think about, you're thinking about efforts. So we have like built-in active recovery days, or, you know, sometimes at a CrossFit gym, a lot of the time, especially if it's good programming, you know, they're looking at the big picture, the whole roadmap. And so if you're going every day, you should be following a well thought out plan.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have days in between where you're just doing some more skill sessions, like you're doing something that's kind of lower intensity, you know, and that's why some people get really irritated. They'll go to a gym. They're like, oh, it wasn't hard enough. And it's like, well, you got to go.
You
got to
look at a whole, right. Yeah. You got to look at the whole plan. Yeah,
it's like, you can't, if you want to just like jump in now and again, you might as well do open gym and then just pick the workout that you want to do.
Right.
Now, if you want to like go to class, you've got to, you know, sign up to be a part, like the whole plan. And then it is, you know, it's accumulation over time of your skills getting better, you getting stronger, all these things, because it's got to follow a plan. So you're not going to really wreck yourself or over, you know, deal with being overtrained.
Right.
But it says, under ordinary circumstances, strength exercises require a load to work against, body weight, bands, cables, free weights, that creates a tension response within the worked muscle, muscular tension from repetitive lifting. So I'm just talking about how, what happens is it breaks down muscle tissue, right? And then it rebuilds itself. Well, when progesterone is present during the second half of the menstrual cycle, it can reduce this protein regrowth negatively, affecting the process of muscular repair.
Oh, okay.
So it kind of talks about how that's
so not the best time to
not the best time build. To be hitting it really hard.
Yeah.
Let's see right here. Here's the exercises. So as in this article, she writes about how, says how to choose different exercises for different times of the month. So the follicular phase is when you can hit it hard, you know, high intensity interval training, powerlifting, heavy weightlifting, plyometrics, long runs, hot yoga, hill repeats, or other intense exercises. Take at least one rest day between hard workouts and be mindful of signs of overtraining, as some studies suggest that you may be prone to muscle damage from overtraining during this phase. Hmm. So saying, be careful you're not trying to hit it too hard, almost, because this is something I would do.
Yeah.
I would definitely try and just feel like really go crazy.
Because you know
half.
You can't for the other
because,
half. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's saying, you know, still be mindful. And then the luteal phase says is when you should respect your body's high hormonal load, do moderate cardio. And then it has in parentheses, no breathless intervals. I don't exactly know how to understand that because I mean, I imagine it's just like, you don't be doing such high intensity intervals that you are having a hard time breathing. So follow something more of like a LISS cardio, you know, long, what is it? It's like long sustained. I can't remember what LISS stands for. Whatever. LISS cardio. Do more like outdoor walks, hikes, strength training that's low to moderate weight and using higher reps. Yoga, Pilates are all great choices. This is a good time to work on enhancing your mobility and make sure to stay away from hot workout environments.
Oh, interesting.
Right?
Yeah. Huh.
Just talks about work with your body, not against it. Exercise research and recommended protocols rely heavily on data that has used male subjects as they don't have the monthly hormone fluctuation that women do. As a result, women attempt to implement exercise programs that aren't constructed with female biology in mind, leaving them to wonder where they went wrong when their energy changes.
Huh. I wonder if, because I feel like a lot of people have like male coaches.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if, because did you ever have any women coaches?
No.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't think so. I wonder if there are women coaches out there that that's kind of where, you know, like where they know about this, or if that's kind of like where they're coming from, you know what I mean?
Well, I definitely think that this is, I mean, this is information that's not new, just new to us because we've never really thought to look into it. You know, I do remember. Okay. So I've had people, you know, from when I launched the Naked program, they all were asking questions like, is this for women?
Right.
Or is that, or men are like, is this for men too?
Right.
Cause I'm a woman.
Right.
And I always said like, yes, like a training program is not male or female focused.
Right.
It all comes down to your own abilities,
right?
You know, where you are in your training. And that's why with Naked, we use a lot of, everything's based off of like percentages because it's individualized.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But something that I haven't considered is maybe creating, and I was actually thinking about it, creating a program that's just like a follicular phase program and a luteal phase program.
Yeah. Yeah.
For women that, you know, can give them an option to go to for that period of time and try that out, which I would like to do for myself as well, because I've never thought of it that way. And right. Really it's because I have always been training. And you, of course, too, you guys go to the CrossFit games. It's not like you all of a sudden just are going, right?
Right.
It's over time. In my case, days and days of training over the course of years, you are able to handle, you get fitter, stronger. So you can handle more intensity, more volume. But at a certain point, that's as much as you can handle. And that's just the way that it is. And that's okay. You know, and it's always been something with my training, with my coaches, they've always looked at my efforts, looked at overall, like it's always made sense when I haven't felt great, you know? So it's not as though I've maybe been missing the opportunity to work with a female coach because maybe she would want to consider my cycle more often. No, you know, it's working with a coach. It really comes down to communication between you and that person, male or female, or a team of people, because everything will be planned and based around where you are, how you feel, and what our goals are, you know? So every time I had a day where I just wasn't feeling it, that's why I've preached this to people. It's like day to day, what our 100% looks like is going to be different.
Right.
You know, so on the days where we are going our whatever 100% we can give that day, it may not look the same as what our 100% was 2 weeks ago. Right. You know, and I always attribute it to, which, and I think this is still pretty true, but now there's more information that I can also add into what I think about when this happens. I always attribute it to because I was training every day. I mean, this is something that it wasn't just like all of a sudden,
right?
You know, when you're putting in, and that's like that's your job. That's your main priority is your sport. It just makes sense when you don't feel great because of everything you had done leading up to that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Now with not training for the CrossFit Games in mind, but wanting to get back into really good shape and, you know, dealing with hormonal changes and imbalances. And I've put in a lot more time trying to understand what's going on with me. And then in turn, understand what's going on with just women. So I can give you good information. This now is something that I want to dabble with.
Dabble, girl.
See what it's like.
Little dabble, do ya?
Hey, a little dabble, do ya?
So stupid. No, that's really interesting. I'm like more curious as to what that means for me, because I don't think I would be considered any of those stages. Like, am I just a man now?
No.
Like, yeah, like it's weird. It's like, what, I wonder if they have like specific training for those who've gone through menopause. I bet they do. I bet if I listen to it.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah, but, yeah, interesting.
I'm going to look right now.
I'm going to look right now.
Yeah.
I was going to read, it's funny because we got an email. You were talking about running. And I think, wait, where is it? It's going to read it. This is from Christina Gibson. And it's just titled Gina Running.
Gina Running.
Hey ladies, longtime fan, just started listening to the pod though. Recently finished the heavy sweater episode. I just wanted to reach out on the subject of Gina's running endeavors. You may already know about it since you're in the fitness industry, but if not, check out Pose Running. Have you heard of that?
Yes.
Okay. The founder, Nicholas Romanoff, also has a book. It's a great resource. I was in the Army for 17 years and have been running wrong for most of it. But they have been implementing how to run training programs utilizing the Pose running method. The last few years, I saw vast improvement for myself and new soldiers. Also, if you want to have a lot of fun with it, check out Easy Running Belts. Have you heard of those? Easy Running Belts?
No, but it sounds like maybe something that you wear around your waist. And that's where you can put your phone and your headphones.
Oh, okay. Maybe. Yeah.
They aren't
actually easy, LOL, but a good tool.
Sounds like maybe
a weighted thing or something.
Maybe it's like a band
posture thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, enjoying listening to your podcast and I can't wait for the next one, Christina. Well, thank you, Christina. I mean, we've all pretty much established that. I kind of have a running style all my own.
It is good. Honestly, I don't really want you to change it. You guys, you've never seen Gina look more fast. but in slow motion.
It makes me laugh every time. I've been trying to like run more. Like I've been doing like more, like I've been doing like CrossFit workouts on Tuesday and Thursday running? Morning. I've been, yes. I mean, not like all the time, but I'll choose to do it if it's like a short run, like a 200 meter or something. And so, yeah. And it's like, all I can think of is that fucking video.
Which one?
The one that Daniel took of me. Oh my God. It's so bad.
God, it's so funny.
It's really bad. So yeah, but thank you, Christina.
Hey, I found some information for menopause.
Okay, go.
All right, you guys.
I'm fucked.
For all my post-menopause ladies out there. With a significant number of women belonging to the status of menopause and beyond, mm-hmm. it is imperative to plan a comprehensive health program for them, including lifestyle modifications. Exercise is an integral part of the strategy. The benefits are many, most important being maintenance of muscle mass and thereby the bone mass and strength. Mm-hmm. The exercise program for postmenopausal women should include the endurance exercise, aerobic, strength exercise, and balance exercise. It should aim for 2 hours and 30 minutes of moderate aerobic activity each week.
Okay.
Man, a lot less than what you're doing.
Yeah.
Every woman should be aware of her target heart rate range and should track the intensity of exercise employing the TOC test.
Oh,
so that's like something that this is really, it's not funny, but like, I'm going to keep reading this for you.
Yeah.
But I didn't know any of this, but that's like the TOC test is what you do with women when they're pregnant, right? When you don't want them to get their heart rate too high.
Oh,
like okay. You should be able to have like a conversation.
Yeah.
So it says right here, I lost my spot. the TOC test right here. Other deep breathing, yoga, and stretching exercises can help to manage the stress of life and menopause-related symptoms. Exercises for women with osteoporosis should not include high-impact aerobics or activities in which a fall is likely. The women and the
treatment. Jesus, it makes it sound so old.
You don't have osteoporosis.
I know. I'm just like listening to this going, oh my God. Worried about like, I don't know. I just think of like people like in a fucking senior center or like a home or something. Like, let's not get their heart rate up too high. And let's make sure that we look for, you know, so they don't fall and break a hip.
Dude, I was reading this and I was reading it to Todd and I was just thinking, man, you know, cause you read through our phases of our cycle.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, it's like, and then if you're not pregnant, it starts from the top. Oh,
yeah, I know.
And you're like, crazy. God damn it. And you're like, yes, this is such a really, it is an amazing gift, blah, blah, blah. You get to reproduce because of women. That's the reason we have what we have.
Yeah.
Like, women are incredible. Without us, there's absolutely nothing. Okay. Right. So, but it's like the part where it talks about how the hormone that's released. So our body produces anywhere from 5 to 20 follicles, which are little immature eggs.
Yeah.
And then basically you reabsorb, one will mature or maybe sometimes two. And then the rest of them are just reabsorbed into your body.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like,
where do they go?
I'm thinking like, damn, you know, I'm producing all these immature eggs and then I'm reabsorbing them. And then every time I don't get pregnant, I'm just sloughing that out of my body. Like, I guess I really, you know, if you want to do it, you probably ought to do it. Cause you don't have who knows how many have left. And then I think, oh God. And then at the end of it, when we're no longer worth, reproducing, our body just starts to die and we can't exercise very hard.
Yes. That's why I always joke. I'm always like, you know, it's like, I don't have a period anymore. So I'm just supposed to die. Like that's next. Yeah. You're just like women are just, they're like professional egg shedders.
Don't you remember when I was talking about doing the freezing my eggs?
Yeah.
And they call it like they go in and basically like harvest.
Yes. Yeah.
And all I picture is like a little guy walking up in there with maybe a rake.
My little farmer.
Yeah. And he's like,
got a little sun hat on.
Yeah. Little sun hat and maybe a basket. And he's like,
just collecting eggs.
It's Easter every day in there. Hey guys,
it's Easter. No, yeah, it's pretty bizarre. Well, and that's the thing too, is like men. So, I mean, like everyone's like, okay, Gina, like we all know how this works, but it's like crazy to me. Like, you know, your women are born with all the eggs they're ever going to have. I wonder how many that is. It's gotta exactly. be thousands. I don't know. But yeah, so it's like, and what's crazy to me, so now they're saying that I think it's a pregnancy at 35 is considered geriatric.
Yes, I know.
A geriatric pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what the fuck? I mean, because we know people are waiting longer. It's like more common. Boy. But yeah, my cousin like had her second kid at like 35 and she was like, yeah, they're calling it a geriatric pregnancy. I was like, oh my God, that is bizarre. It's crazy to me.
Man.
You better get working.
Dude, I've got 1 year before I'm geriatric.
Seriously.
If I'm pregnant at 35, I want to do a geriatric pregnancy photo shoot.
Like a walker. I just like the arms, like your little old lady in a rocker.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I just I see you with like a little blanket tucked in.
Yeah. Just you come over. I'm in like in a wheelchair in the corner. Everyone's having a good time. But like, where's Brooke? Can someone turn the heat up? Okay.
Fuck, that's funny.
I'm 33, you guys. I'll be geriatric in 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years, man. He's like racing the clock.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Hey, here's some information. Funny. The social scenario. What a website. ncbi.nlm.nih.gov.
Whoa. What was that?
Whatever it is. I'm just going to read this. The social scenario of senior women in our country is sadly that of reduced activity. Women often exercise less when they enter menopause, which can lead to weight gain. To further complicate matters, the metabolism is also decreased.
Uh-huh.
And you guys, we and Gina talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
Like every year.
Yep.
And sometimes Gina's got like a couple good years, right? But every year she talks about it and she's been, you know, preparing me for this for years now since I was like 20, since I was like 26.
Yeah.
Like at a certain point, she, not just her, any of you that are older too. It's like, you reach a point where you're like, well, back to the drawing board.
Yes.
And you're like, and where do I go?
Yeah. What do I do now? Like it's insane. And it's like the amount of, I want to say damage. It's not damage, but it's like the amount of the changes that are happening in my body. Just like, I mean, I keep saying it. I'm like, dude, 52 has done me dirty. It's like 51 and 52. Like I was okay at 50, even like last year, but like this year has something has just happened in my body. And it's, you know, I literally have a patch of cellulite on my left hip that looks like, I mean, it's just erupted. It's like a head of cauliflower is what I call it. It looks like the head of a cauliflower head. It's bizarre. And it's like, wow, where did that come from? Like that is like,
oh,
whoa. I just grew some cauliflower. Oh, whoa. What the fuck? Yeah, it's bizarre. And like all of a sudden I'm getting like, I mean, I was looking in the mirror and I was like, oh my God, I have like those back ham hock things.
Oh my gosh. My
mom. Even with some cellulite on them. I'm like, what is that?
I come in my mom's room the other day.
Yeah. It's weird.
And we were in the kitchen and she goes, she's like, my worst nightmare has happened.
What?
She goes, my butt has literally fallen off. My mom's never had much of a butt. Okay.
Right. Like, yeah. She's
pretty genetic. Like a... pretty genetic for my fam to have flat butts. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to accept that, but it, I mean, if you look around, it's fairly true. And she is like, no, I'm like, mom, she goes, no, I am not kidding. It has fallen off. And I was like, mine too. I'm like, I feel like I'm
it's
like,
not the same though. Shape,
and it's not the same. So yeah. Here's what's
no,
funny.
It is not the
here's
same.
What's funny.
Yeah.
I'm in her bathroom and my dad's in there. Well, my mom's coming out of the closet. She's butt naked. I know you guys are like, that's kind of weird. I'm really close to my parents. My mom, okay, let me say that again.
They're a naked family.
My mom, it's not weird for my mom to be naked. It's not weird. Anyways, I was talking to my dad. He was putting his shoes on and we were talking about ranch stuff. And here comes my mom. And she was changing because she was, I guess, going to get in the shower. But she's sneaking out of the closet.
Backwards?
With her butt away from us, kind of hunched over, scooting. And my dad just starts laughing so hard. And it's because she doesn't want to show her butt. But she shows me anyways later. She was like, she's telling me, she's like, I'm not kidding. It's completely fallen off. And she goes, my worst nightmare. She says she said, now I'm starting to get this right here.
Yeah.
Like some like a muffin top. And she goes,
yeah.
I can grab it.
Yeah.
And pull my butt up.
I can do that too. I can do that too. It's weird.
It drops back down.
Yes, I can do that too. I would seriously show you right now if I had, I don't have any underwear on, but I would seriously show you. It is bizarre. And it's like your skin can like the condition of your skin. It's like I've completely, and you know, still like, you know, working out. I work out at least like 5 days a week. You know, I eat decent. It's crazy. Like I have cellulite that it goes down to my knees on the inside of my thighs. It's just bizarre. It's like overnight. And I just remember picking on like with one little dent that I had in my right leg, like since I was like in my 20s. And it was only when I sat down, like put pressure on it. And I'm thinking, oh my God, like why? I mean, I would kill. Right now, I would kill for my body 2 years ago that I thought was terrible.
Yeah.
Cause it just gets worse. It's bizarre. It is. I totally feel for your mom. Cause it is a very bizarre thing to watch your body just like we used to call it the melted ice cream cone.
Yeah.
It's turning into a melted ice cream cone. It just has no other option. So, and I know what she's talking about with the butt. Cause I've always had like a bubble butt and like, my butt cheeks where they meet my leg are starting to get wrinkled. They're not round anymore. It used to be like round into my leg and now it's like at the bottom, they're like wrinkling. I'm like, oh my God, what is that?
Dude, well, I wish I had your bubble butt.
Well, not now. You don't want it now. Maybe a few years ago. Maybe a few years ago, but yeah. So it's like, yeah. So the point is not to sit here and like, I mean, basically it's just for me, it's just another reminder to tell all of you out there to enjoy the body you're in now.
Gina's been saying this to me for so long, like just reminding me like only gonna get worse.
It does.
When you're doing all the things you should be doing and could be doing to be healthy.
And it's not working.
Like, I mean, like prior to whatever, getting older or dealing with this shit, if you're doing what you can, you're eating right, you're cutting out the bullshit, you're exercising, you're sleeping, you know, you're making good decisions. You're doing everything you can to be healthy and fit. Man, it's okay if you're not where you want to be. That's okay. It's okay to want to look and feel better. Yes. But we do all need this reminder. I need it all the time. And Gina was right there for years to remind me of it is like one day you're going to look back at what you looked like and be like, why was I so sad? Like,
yeah,
why was I so
going
upset?
Through my head? Because your body at that point, I mean, I've thought about this so many times, like, and then even like right now I'm like, okay, Gina, it's not like what you want it to look like, but just think about it by next year, what it could look like. So you might as well just, you know, appreciate it now. And again, like you were saying, yes, when you're doing all the things, and I would never say, it's going to get worse, so don't do anything at all. Say, yeah, fuck it. Because I'll tell you what, if I wasn't doing what I am doing, God, it would be a whole hell of a lot worse.
Yeah.
You know, so I have to keep reminding myself that too. I'm like, okay.
Well, here's a reminder.
Yeah, it's rough.
One reason of this metabolism decline with age is the loss of muscle mass.
Mm-hmm.
About 0.5 pound a year.
Oh my God.
Muscle burns more calories than fat. So this is a reminder to any of you out there that are like scared to get too big, you know, and I would imagine there's probably none of you listening to this podcast that would feel that way. But you might, you know, I mean, we lose it so fast,
mm-hmm,
just strength and muscle. So it really is important to make that the forefront of your training. And that's what I'm trying to get back to doing. Cause I was, you know, I got back into feeling better and exercising daily and like feeling accomplished, but I was doing that with running. And now I have written up like a little, a workout schedule for me that like still has my running involved, but prioritizing in the gym, lifting more than what I was doing.
Yeah. You need to do that, because haven't you ever seen like runners?
Yeah, no, I know.
Like people that run, like skinny, you know, little things.
Yeah. Well, I weighed myself this morning. It will blow your mind.
What?
146.
Whoa.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. You weigh less than me.
Now here's the caveat, you guys, any of you that are like, what? Either A, you're like, that's not that light. Or you're like, whoa, Brooke, that's really light for you. That is really light for me. I'm not mad about it, because I would prefer to be trending down than trending up. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, you guys, my fluctuation in weight is so inconsistent.
Yeah.
You know, I could wake up tomorrow and be 148 pounds and then just start trending upwards and not even change anything that I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I'm not taking it too seriously, but I do know that I've been running a lot and it's been really hot. So I sweat a lot. So I have been trying to make drinking water with salts in it a big priority.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it just, you know, things change, but it is super important to take the time, especially when we are younger, to take the time to build that muscle and then maintain our strength and our muscle by, you know, continuing training as we get older, because as it says, once our hormones are, I don't know, non-existent, we are, you know, we could lose or are losing up to 0.5 pound of muscle a year. And that really starts to affect us, and then, you know, deal with like bone mass and things like that. So it just says muscle burns more calories than fat. We know that. So whenever the muscle is not preserved with weight training exercise, the body simply does not burn as many calories. There's also a tendency to increase the intake of calories. As the metabolism drops, many women do not adjust their calories accordingly, which often leads to weight gain. The prevalence of the metabolic syndrome is reported to be significantly higher in postmenopausal women. Oh, it's saying in India, but.
Okay, wait, I gotta stop you for a second. Mm-hmm. I can't see you. All right. Sorry about that, guys. Something happened to my.
Yeah, I don't know what it was.
I think it was me. I'd gotten up to do something, and I think when I set the computer back down, I hit something, and okay, I exited the meeting.
Well,
like an idiot.
Well, we're back.
Yeah, we're back. Sorry, and so, you were mid reading something, but.
Well, I put it away.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, different phases of the menstrual cycle.
I'm in a nutshell.
Different phases, and man, what a hormonal roller coaster that we get to have, because we're a woman and we get to have the option to create life.
Yes,
accidentally sometimes, on purpose sometimes, and unfortunately for a lot of women, it can be extremely difficult to do so. My sister included. Mm-hmm. She's here. Robin's here. Right. So, it's crazy. And It is in fact shown that because of our hormonal levels that happen during the cycle, it makes a lot of sense when we feel the way that we do and feel pretty crappy. You know, I always knew about maybe being a little bit moody, or for me, I never really thought I had much of like PMS other than cramps.
Mm-hmm.
But as I've gotten older and with my hormone levels that have been a little wonky, and I think I can attribute one genetically for sure. My mom deals with it. My sister deals with it. So it was almost inevitable for me to also deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've dealt with like really low progesterone since I was in college. So like, it's not something that's necessarily new, but now the other imbalances that I have are newer. Probably not a complete, not totally because of how I trained for a long time, but I've heard from many people that, like Cammie included, and she talked about it, but have ended up having some sort of hormonal imbalance, and dealing with a lot of different things on a like molecular level as a result of
all the heavy training.
Yes.
Yeah.
For
I could see
a
that.
Long, long time. And I mean, it's not, you know, it's also pretty, can be pretty common, like for men too, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and everybody's different. So you add that in too. So there's obviously, I think, rule of thumbs that can come into play when looking at like an age range of women or men, but then you add in some different nuances that are genetic or just
environmental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's all very complicated. So I think it's very important that, I'm going to start paying attention to it, and I'm going to dabble with paying it, like trying some different, you know, style of training and follow, you know, the very crazy, hard to follow roadmap of my menstrual cycle.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
And I'm going to work on, trying to, you know, not break something while working out. Yeah.
You're going to make sure you're getting some good aerobic in, you know,
But I can still talk through.
Yep. And you need to lift weights.
Which I do.
Yep.
Yep.
And, I guess when your metabolic rate starts changing, you have to also change your diet.
So, I know.
We know that, but
yep. Like I said, back to the drawing board.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's happened to me the last couple years. So we're going back. Oh. All right. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah. If you actually, we are going to look to have an expert, you know, someone come on and kind of discuss all of this. But if you either A, know the perfect person, because of their
background,
education, what their job is, XYZ, please email us, let us know, because we love that you guys can actually connect us with people that you would also mm-hmm. want to hear from. We like doing that. On top of that, if you have any maybe personal experiences with this, or maybe you have a personal experience with using as a form of birth control, just doing the whole
temperature
thing. Yeah. I'd love to hear about it because, you know, I have a copper wire IUD, and it wasn't until working with my doctors, this that I'm working with right now, realizing that there's actually no reason for me to even have that in there, because I know that there, you know, you could have one-offs, but theoretically I naturally don't produce enough progesterone to be able to
get pregnant,
create life, which is, some of you are probably like, that's really sad. It is sad, but also it doesn't mean that I can't. It just means that if that was something that I wanted to do, we would prepare my body by boosting my progesterone
mm-hmm.
to be able to do that. But it is a bummer that I never have known that, working with all my doctors, because, you know, I just deal with weird pain and dealing with that bullshit of my IUD that I could just not have to be dealing with. Yeah. I've had it replaced like two or three times because there's problems with it. And then on top of that, you know, I've got other things. I got this cyst that grows every month.
Yeah.
You know?
It's your little buddy.
Hey. Being a woman is great.
Yes.
Today's not the day.
Today's not the day. Today's not the day.
Anyways.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to
rate, review, subscribe, 5-star rating, 5-star warning.
Warning. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.